Open to Mark chapter 6 as we continue our study through the book of Mark. Mark chapter 6, we're going to be looking at the first section of that today. And I've entitled today's message, A Prophet Without Honor. You've probably heard that term before, and it comes actually from this, directly from this idea that's given to us in Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Our text finds Jesus returning to Nazareth. He's going home again. Our Lord's return to His hometown does not go the way one might expect it to. After all, Jesus is something of a celebrity by this time. He's been going around the countryside preaching, teaching, healing the sick, casting out demons, raising the dead, and controlling the forces of nature. He has proven that there is something very special and very different about Him. And yet we see the people in Nazareth somewhat skeptical. I grew up in a number of different places as we moved around, but for the most part of my time, I grew up in a little town called Post, Texas. It was named after C.W. Post, the cereal magnate. And the reason is because he had decided that he wanted to found a town that would eventually be a utopian society. Well, if you've ever been to Post, Texas, it's not a utopian society. And the reason is because people live there. We may want something to be really awesome and great and magnificent, but the thing that always spoils it is people, right? Because we're all like people. And so when Jesus came back to Nazareth, it was different because He wasn't like any of those people. He was totally different in every way. Yes, He walked and talked and ate and slept and did all the things that people do, but they saw in Him something totally different than what they thought they ought to see in a person. And it didn't go over so well in Nazareth, His hometown. We're going to take a look at that today and try to understand what the people were seeing and saying and what Jesus was actually doing. So we're going to begin in verse 1, chapter 6. Jesus left there where He was with Jairus, the time we looked at last in the last chapter of last part of chapter 5, and He went to His hometown accompanied by His disciples. And when the Sabbath came, He began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard Him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that has been given to him that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Father, I come to you and I ask that you'll just open up our spiritual eyes today. Help us to see things from your perspective. Lord, it's so easy for us to just look at the landscape and at the people that are around us, and we see them with physical eyes and we automatically judge them in certain ways, and we don't even get to know some people. We don't even know where they've come from or where they're going. We don't know what they believe. We don't know anything about them, but we already have some kind of a judgment against them, Lord. And I know, Father, that as Jesus was there in that place where He'd grown up, people were looking at Him as a young kid who grew up there, who now had a lot of fame around him, but they were very concerned that he shouldn't even be doing these things. He wasn't high enough in the spiritual realms of what they thought were important. Little did they understand and know what they were witnessing was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in their midst. And so when they asked the question, where did this man get these things? They should have understood the only place he could get these things is from God Himself. Lord, I think this world in many ways looks on Jesus the same way. Was He really something special? Was He? They've heard about Him. They've heard things that He did. They think they know who Jesus is, but they don't really know Jesus. Father, people need to know Jesus. And the only way they can see Him and understand who He is to see Him and know Him through us who know Him. So Lord, we must be a representation of Jesus. We must lift Him up at all times. We must exalt Him. And I pray, Father, You'll help us do that. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture says in verse 2, the people were shocked by His preaching. They didn't really understand. They were amazed. They didn't really understand how He could preach and talk about the things of God like this. I mean, this wasn't normal for a basically uneducated person who grew up just being the son of a carpenter. The Greek word for amazed here was actually to be in panic or to strike out because of the unnatural or unexplainable that they were seeing in Jesus. I don't know if you've ever been around something that happened that was just a miracle or unexplainable and really kind of puts you in a different situation. It makes you wonder if things are really real, even in the place that you're at. And so they were in shock. They were astonished by Jesus. This was the young boy that was running around the street. This was the young boy that was helping his dad. This was the young boy they'd seen all that time as he was growing up. How could he be now standing in the tabernacle speaking the words of God as he was? When something happens that's supernatural, most people can't grasp it. Not only were they listening to him that day, they were also thinking about the things that they'd heard about him. I mean, they had just heard about the fact that he had cast all these demons out of the Gadarene demoniac. They were thinking about Jairus' daughter who was dead that he brought back to life. And they're going like, no, that's not possible. He's just the young boy that grew up here in town. And they didn't understand it. And they didn't actually want to receive that. In fact, what is supernatural for us is natural for God. What we think it cannot even possibly happen, it's nothing for God. I mean, think about it, folks. Jesus was crucified on a cross. And for those who come up with the idea that Jesus didn't really die, he was just hurting really bad when they took him down and he came back to consciousness in the tomb, that has no bearing, that has no possibility of happening. Because what the Roman soldiers did, and they were very trained at it, they had to make sure before they took down a prisoner, someone who was being crucified, they had to make sure they were dead. And the way they would do that is they would plunge a spear in through the side of the person, actually on their left side, right by their heart, and they would puncture the pericardium, which is the sac of water around the heart, and then they would puncture the heart. And Scripture tells us, when they did that to Jesus, blood and water flowed. He was dead. And so people couldn't understand how they could see him again. I mean, even the disciples couldn't understand it. Thomas says, Lord, how do we know it's you? How can we can't explain this. And people think if they can't explain something, it couldn't have possibly happened. But it did. And so the people were confused. They didn't know what to think. What was supernatural? They couldn't grasp it. But when he spoke, his words were filled with divine authority. You know why? Because when Jesus spoke, what they were hearing was the voice of God. They were hearing the voice of God. And he was speaking straight to them. Most of us grew up in situations like we're in today, in a church. And we go to church and many of us grew up in Sunday school and we heard our teachers teaching the Word of God. And then we would go and we'd gather in the church building and we'd hear the preacher preach about God. But did you really realize that no matter who it was, whether it was your second grade Sunday school teacher or it was a pastor or a traveling evangelist or whatever else, that when they take God's Word and open it up and speak about it, you're hearing the Word of God. Not hearing my words. You're hearing the Word of God. Every time you pick up your Bible at home, and I hope you do that all the time, I hope you're very regular reading through God's Word and spending time and asking God to speak to you. And when you pick up His Word and you look at it, what God is doing is He's speaking directly to you. When we gather together as the body of Christ and we go into God's Word and we begin reading these things, don't you realize that God is speaking directly to us? The people didn't understand how that could possibly be. They knew that they were hearing something, but they were hearing it from a different perspective. Here's the difference. Most of the time when they go to the tabernacle, they do the same thing pretty much every time. And then someone would stand up with the section of Scripture that they had available, and they would read the Scripture. And then they would pray, and then they would leave. And for most of those people, this was a religious duty that they performed every day, every week. And I have to admit that in many churches that I've been in, I've seen people performing religious duties every week. Because nothing ever changes in their life or in the people around them's life. Things don't change. But when they heard His words, they realized that He was filled with divine authority. He was speaking as if they were hearing God speak. I wonder why. Because they were hearing God speak. Remember John chapter 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God." His wisdom was beyond all of those that were esteemed as religious leaders. I mean, they couldn't even comprehend how this young boy who'd grown up as a carpenter's son could actually stand in the tabernacle, take the Word of God and speak it and explain it to them. How was that possible? He wasn't trained. His wisdom was beyond all of those that were esteemed as religious leaders and teachers. Most people, by the way, are still affected one way or the other. Jesus is the one who causes people to have to choose to believe or not to believe. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to someone about Jesus. And they either immediately connect with the fact that He was real and He's true and He is God's Son, or they try to make up excuses for why He wasn't. It's one way or the other. Jesus is the divider between truth and lies. And when you tell people about Jesus, they automatically either line up with Him or the other aspect is going the opposite way. You can talk about Jesus. He was just another prophet, you know, and people followed him like people follow all these other prophets that have lived. But even in his own hometown, they didn't know how to receive him. They didn't know what to think about him. But when he stood in front of them, they had to choose whether to believe or not believe. Acts chapter 4, verses 11 through 14, you probably remember this. But as Peter and John told the Sanhedrin, hey, listen, you can tell us not to speak about Jesus anymore, but we can tell you this. We know Jesus and we're going to tell everybody about Jesus. And you're not going to stop us. And even if you put us to death, we're not going to stop preaching about him. And look at what the passage here says. As Peter was standing and preaching right after they told him not to, he says, "The stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, they hadn't been to seminary, they hadn't sat through all the different classes and courses. They were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Now, that's significant right there. Hold on to that statement before we read the rest of that verse. These same words are the same words that are here in Mark chapter 6. These people were astonished. They couldn't understand it. They couldn't understand how this little boy who'd never gone off to seminary, never been trained by all the religious people, how he could possibly know God like he knew him. That's a clue, by the way. You don't have to go to seminary to know Jesus. You don't have to go to church for 60 or 70 years to know Jesus. In fact, I've known people that have gone to church that long that still don't know Jesus. They know about him. They know lots of stuff about him. They know the history of him. But there's a huge difference in knowing him. And that's exactly what was happening here. The Sanhedrin was saying, "Listen, you can't talk about Jesus anymore. You gotta put a cap on that. You can't talk about him like that. You're making people think that he's something more than a man." Well, he is. And so Peter and John realized, that they were going to have to make a statement. They were going to have to take a stand. But these people, when they heard them speak, were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who'd been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. They couldn't say, "Oh, you know, some bogus thing you got all connected into, and it can't be real." Here he is. By faith, he was healed. Here's the reality of Jesus Christ. And folks, if this could be spoken from every pulpit in every church in our country, it should be if it hasn't been. This is the reality of Jesus Christ. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. There is none righteous, no, not one. Every single person has sinned in their life. The wages of our sin is death and separation from God forever. This is what we deserve. This is our paycheck. We deserve to be separated from Him forever. There's only one way to be saved from sin and its penalty, and it's faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord. You can't get to heaven on somebody else's coattails. You can't get to heaven by attending church, by memorizing Scripture, by being able to quote the Beatitudes. That doesn't get you into heaven. There's only one way. Religions are man's attempt to to get to God. And every religion has set up these certain things that they say, if we can do this and this and this and this and this, then somehow we're going to be okay when we stand in front of God. The only problem is they don't take into account in all those things that they've done, they don't take into account all the things that they've done against God that have to be paid for. There's only one kind of person that God will let into heaven, and that's a perfect person. How many of you are perfect? You are if you know Jesus, because in His sight, Jesus' blood has covered your sin, and for God, you are perfect. Religions are man's attempt to get to God. Jesus is God's attempt to get to mankind. And He sent Jesus to walk amongst men so that people could see what it was really like to be around God. Psalm chapter 118, verse 22. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Did they receive Jesus? No, they rejected Him. They pushed Him away. They said, "You're not old enough. You're not, you're not up enough in the religious ranks. You came up as a mere skilled worker. I mean, there's no way you could be, standing in the synagogue and teaching." Just remember what John 14:6 says, and we mention this passage so many times because it's the main truth of what Jesus said to His disciples. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one will come to the Father except through Me." Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. "And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." Stop for just a minute and think about that. No wonder Jesus, in His physical state, the night before His crucifixion, says, "Lord, if there's another way, I don't want to die on a cross like that." Worst physical punishment that has ever been invented for death. And the Romans were good at it. They wouldn't even allow any of their own citizens to be put to death by crucifixion. "But being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." Why would He do that? Because He loves you. "Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Of God the Father." If those people in that synagogue that day really only knew who they were listening to, they were listening to God. They were listening to the very voice of God. They were looking upon the very face of God. He was right in front of them. Isn't it interesting how sometimes the thing that we're looking for the most is really right in front of us? Some people think, "Well, you know, I want to earn a certain amount of money, and I want to buy certain things, and I want to do this, and I want to do that." And they go after it wholeheartedly, and they try all the time. But the thing they're really looking for is right in front of them. Their family, their spouse, and their relationships. What these people were looking for was right in front of them. But they stumbled over His person. Look at what it says in verse 3. "Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't it Mary's son? And the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. You see, familiarity breeds contempt. Everyone thought they knew everything there was to know about Jesus. You know, somebody grows up there in Craig and you know, for some reason they get popular or they have some great success or they go on to college and become an All-American or whatever else. You know, we think, wow, that's pretty awesome. I knew them when they were little. But if that person were to come back here, they would just be another person from Craig. He grew up in their presence. As I said before, he'd never been to divinity school. He hadn't been sitting down with a rabbi every day and learning. He had no formal training. In fact, some of them probably thought he's not even supposed to be standing in front of us in the synagogue. They thought the scriptures were so holy that no one should even speak them or touch them that wasn't trained. And yet, it wasn't a religious holiness. I mean, a real holiness. It was a religious holiness. It's like that vase that your mom told you to never touch. Do you ever have one of those in your house? We had one, but I touched it. And it didn't last. Neither did my back end after that. They took offense at him because they couldn't explain Jesus. And because they couldn't explain Jesus, they refused to listen to Jesus. Well, they heard him speaking. And there's a difference, folks. Sometimes you hear someone speaking, but you don't really listen. You know how I know that? Because I sat through lots of classes in school. And my teacher would be up there, and it was kind of like, the Charlie Brown thing. I could hear, womp, 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 that, that, that. Have y'all been there? But my mind was somewhere totally different. I wasn't listening. How could they receive their theology from a carpenter? He wasn't trained up. He didn't deserve this position. He didn't deserve to be able to stand in the synagogue and read the Holy Word. He's just a common man. And then they ridiculed him by saying, "Isn't this Mary's son?" They didn't say, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" You see, by saying Mary's son, the woman didn't have a standing in town. If Joseph hadn't been around, then basically they would look at Jesus as illegitimate. He doesn't even deserve. He doesn't have a real father. But they called him Mary's son. They never mentioned Joseph, which was an affront to him. People usually can't believe what they can't explain. Have you ever noticed that? I can't believe in that because I can't explain it. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things I can't explain that are real. I know that being in biology as I went through high school and majored in it in college, I know that in biology that every single thing is made up of matter, of atoms that are constantly in motion. Did you know that you're sitting on something today that's constantly in motion? You are. And you might wonder, how's that possible? What holds it together? Jesus holds everything together. He holds everything together. But there's molecules going crazy right now in this pulpit. But he's holding it all together. If it weren't for God holding everything together, it'd be totally torn apart. I can't explain how it works. I can't look at that and see those molecules moving. I can't explain it only except by scientific laws that I've learned. But the fact is even those laws don't make sense when I think about the fact that all these molecules are moving right here, right now, inside of this, but they're all staying in one place. How's that possible? Only by the hand of God. But God has made it clear through His Word, Jesus Christ. He is the Word. And so Jesus came to dwell among men so that people could see what God was really like, so they could hear what God was really saying. And here was Jesus in a town called Nazareth, standing in the tabernacle, speaking to the people, and they missed it. They were hearing the voice of God. They were looking at a young boy who had grown up there. They missed it. What's tragic is that someday, some of those people that were there that very day will stand before Jesus. They'll stand before Him and say, "Oh yeah, we remember you. You came to our synagogue and you talked about some things out of Scripture. We remember that. We know you." And He'll say to them, "Depart from me. I don't know you. You're workers of iniquity." "Oh, we were very religious." "Yeah. Doesn't matter. Didn't know me. In fact, you rejected me." Folks, we spend time every week typing out these things and putting them together and handing them out every Sunday. But can I ask you to do one thing with today's handout? Take this home with you and don't throw it away. And don't put it somewhere where you can't find it. I want to tell you, here is the absolute truth about Jesus Christ. Everything I tell you is backed up by Scripture and is the truth. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He's Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus was born of a virgin, according to the Scripture. Jesus lived a sinless life. He never did anything wrong. And He was tempted in every way, just like us, the Scripture says, yet without sin. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. He didn't die for a select few or a chosen group. He died for the sins of the whole world. Jesus conquered death, and He rose from the grave. Jesus ascended back to heaven and is ever interceding for you and for me. Jesus is coming back soon to receive His people to Himself. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is the only door to salvation. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and no one will come to the Father except through Him. Now folks, that's the truth. And we're either going to believe that and live by it, or we're going to hear it and then dismiss it. Well, the people there dismissed it. They shunned who He was. They shunned His power. They rejected Him. "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" That's what they said. "Is that possible? Can anything good come out of Craig?" Somebody said, "Yeah, Highway 40. Folks, now listen. They saw a little boy who'd grown up. That's what they saw. Isn't that Mary's son? Isn't that the one that's got all those brothers and those sisters? That's what they saw. They didn't see a young man who was the Messiah and who would eventually die on the cross for them. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when those who are talked about this very day stand before Him on that day? Their lack of faith. The Scripture says that Jesus didn't do many miracles there. It's not that He couldn't. It's because that He wouldn't. Because why would you do things for people who don't even believe? Total difference from Jairus. You remember Jairus said, "Lord, you don't even have to go to my house. You can just say the word and I know my daughter's going to be okay." Jesus went anyway. And He helped a little girl up who was dead. And she was alive again. Why? Because Jairus had faith. He knew that whatever Jesus said would happen. But not these people. Matthew chapter 7 verse 6. "Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to the pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." You know who said that? Jesus. In the midst of the Sermon on the Mount, He said that. What was He saying? There's going to be a lot of people that when they hear the truth, they don't want to hear the truth. And they're going to put you out of town, or they're going to, you know, scourge you or whatever else. They're not going to listen to the truth. He didn't say, don't tell them the truth. Every person needs to hear the truth. But there'll be many people who hear the truth and they won't want to hear it. It amazes God when we have such little faith. You remember how Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith"? You remember that? Who was He talking to at that point? His own disciples. "Didn't I tell you we're going to get in the boat and go to the other side? Oh, you of little faith." The word "little faith" there, someone once translated it "dinky." Do you have dinky faith or do you have real faith? He works miracles in the lives of people that have great faith. God does amazing things. And I love this statement by William Barclay. He says, "There can be no preaching in the wrong atmosphere. The congregation is responsible for at least half of every message or sermon. In an atmosphere of expectancy, the least effort will catch fire. In an atmosphere of coldness or indifference, the most Spirit-filled of sermons will fall flat." You come here expecting to hear God speak to you? I do. I mean, I'm amazed what He says to me. Every single day when I get into God's Word, I'm just amazed by the fact that He loves me so much that He wants to tell me things and show me things in His Word. And I can tell you, folks, I've been through Scripture after Scripture after Scripture that I've been through multiple times before, practically hundreds of times before. And that particular day, God's Spirit will bring it to light. It will show me something I've never seen. You know why? Because that's who God is. But folks, if we don't want Him here, Jesus will do what He did in Nazareth. He will leave and go somewhere else, hoping that someone else will receive Him. Hoping that somebody else will grow in Him. So hoping that somebody else will tell others about Him. Chuck Swindoll said it like this: "We can have glory, power, and manifest presence of God in true worship, or we can have cold, dead religion. We cannot have both." I vote for the first part. That's the kind of place I want to be. That's the kind of people I want to be around. People who know God, who love God, who care about the things of God, who want to share about the life of God to people around them. That's the kind of people I want to be around. Father, when the Father allows us to become more and more like that, we will see more and more things that He will do in the midst of us, in our own personal life, in our church's life, in this community's life. I'm praying that this weekend coming up, when we have this Mighty Men's Conference, we're going to see God do some amazing things in men's lives. You know why? Because I think for the most part, men are afraid to step out in faith. They're not afraid to take a gun out and shoot a rattlesnake, but they're afraid to stand up for God. They're afraid to be the man of God in their family. They're afraid to be leaders. Whoever is here this Friday night and Saturday, God's going to speak. If you're not here, God's going to speak. I pray that you'll come and be a part of that. But as to the fact of who Jesus is, He's the only door to salvation. He's the way and the truth and the life. And no one will come to the Father except through Him. Let's pray. Father, I'm so grateful, so blessed that You gave me an opportunity and a chance to know You. Father, You give that opportunity to every person. Everyone needs to know who You are. You're not just a young boy who grew up as a carpenter's son. You're not just a person who walked with 12 men for a few years and then was crucified. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that You are Lord to the glory of God the Father. And there's only one way to the Father, and it's through Jesus Christ. You can't be good enough. You can't try to follow enough commandments. You can't memorize all the Scriptures and expect that to get you into heaven. There's only one way. It's through Jesus and His atoning blood that was shed for you on the cross. And you have to choose whether or not you're going to receive it. For every person in here in this building, if you've not done that, please, please consider giving your life to Christ today. Accepting Him as your Savior and your Lord, personally. Maybe you're listening online today and you realize that you know who Jesus is, but you don't know Jesus. You've heard about Him all your life, but you don't have a relationship with Him. Why don't you give your life to Him today? He wants to be your Lord and your Savior. Will you receive Him? Whatever it is that God might be saying to you today, we're here. And if you're here in this place and you want to come and give your life to Jesus, I'd love to help you do so according to God's Word. We will pray together. If you're listening online, I would love to also have that opportunity if you would just, on our Facebook page or on our website, if you would just say, I'd love for someone to contact me and talk to me about what Pastor is speaking about. We would love to do that. If you're here today and you know Jesus, my prayer is that you won't hold that back from the people around you, but that you will willfully and openly share the great news, the good news of who Jesus is and what He's done for us. Whatever it might be that God is speaking to you this morning, I pray that you'll act upon it. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.